This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
1985, I arrive. 33 years, damn, I'm grateful I survived. We wasn't supposed to get past 25.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You already know, it's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. Man, lots to discuss. You already know. Aaron Rodgers, he wanted to make sure exactly the details of his contract was got right, in case y'all saw. But anyway, we'll get a little more into that later. NBA season, it's getting to be no joke. But something I want to talk about before we get started with all that real quick. Something a little more on a serious note. So sorry guys, this is a little off cuff. No script, you know how I do, like usual. Brittany Griner. That's pretty much what I'm going to say. And if that name doesn't mean anything to you, then I don't know what you've been doing lately. I don't know if you understand what's been going on, but I've been really quiet on this subject for a couple of reasons. One, the family was asked us, actually, the media, everybody out there, to kind of not make such a big deal. I assume because it's going to interfere with kind of the interwork, you know, the whatever they're trying to do behind the scenes in order to make sure she gets home safe. But at the same time, I think so many of these situations get downplayed and then they miraculously work out for some. And yes, I am also referring to the LiAngelo Ball situation, obviously different, but the same in the sense that as Americans, and now I travel a lot. I don't want anybody to get it twisted. I've been around. I understand. As an American, when I go to different countries, you have to follow their rules. You understand what I'm saying? Like, definitely do your research. Understand what's okay here is not necessarily okay there. Now, I understand the reasons and why she was there. And for those of you who don't, I will explain it to you. See, the WNBA doesn't get paid crap here, pretty much. Just keeping it real. That's just the way it is. It's not fair. So, as an alternative, and by the way, and just because I'm explaining to you why she was there doesn't exactly excuse the action. I'm just trying to let people know, educate people, right, why she was there. Because people were like, oh, it's wartime, you know, what's going on with Ukraine and everything. Yeah, we got that. I'm explaining why she was there in the first place and why this is not her first time that she's there and that she just happens to play on a team overseas over there because she gets paid probably about triple, if not quadruple, the amount that she gets paid here. So that's pretty much her livelihood. That's why she's there. She's playing in a league. And a lot of her other WNBA counterparts do the same thing. So this is not strange territory for her to be there. I understand the situation. But just, like I said, just educating. Whether you agree with it, disagree with it, timing of it, that's neither here nor there. I'm educating you, just simply educating you guys on why she was in the first place. Now, like I was saying, we have to be very careful because when you go over to other places, especially other countries, we have this notion that because we're American, they should let us kind of do whatever is accepted, you know, here, or handle it the same way they would in another country, you know, like the same way as they would here. And we can't get into all that, what's right, what's wrong, oh, what they do there is messed up. Yeah, we kind of do a lot of messed up things here too. We just don't like to talk about it much, you know, but we pretty good at pointing the finger at other countries when they do something wrong. But the point is, it's just not our place. We don't own them. They don't own us, right? We have freedom of speech. Other countries do not. And that's a whole other conversation. But the point is, we need to stop having these assumptions, you know, these notions that when we go to these other countries that we can simply do as we please. And this is by no means like an attack on Britney personally. I don't know her at all, or even LiAngelo Ball with the whole incident what he did in China with the stealing of the property. This is just to shed a light on, especially to the younger crowd, you know, who are thinking like, oh, it's a joke, or I didn't think it would be that serious, you know, because it's not that serious here. Don't think that way. This is where we have to kind of go to like the old school way, right, of thinking, the traditional way. When you're somewhere, especially where you're not familiar, right, where they don't owe you anything, you kind of want to be on your best behavior. Doesn't mean, you know, you have to not be yourself, but maybe some of the habits that you get into, and I'm sure they have publicists and, you know, lawyers and things of that nature. I get some people just want to be sneaky, and or I'm not even saying that's what she's trying to do, but just say, hey, you know, I do X, Y, and Z. You know, is this going to be a real problem to where I'm going? You know, I understand here, like, it's being more socially acceptable, you know, for vapes and different type of CBD oils and all these different things and the cartridges, whatever. It's obviously getting a little more social, you know, it's a little more accepted here, you know, at least socially. And that all depends on what crowd you're talking to, because it's not 100% okay. But it's not going to get you 5 to 10 either. But we do need to be more careful. We definitely need people to know. And like I said, by people, I mean our younger crowd. They have to understand that these people are not playing. You know, like, they're not playing games. We have to take them seriously. You know, especially if you're going to go over there, you know, and make money and do all these things and form relationships. You know, you have to be diplomatic, right? You have to play ball, so to speak, you know? But it is a shame what's going on there. And it's difficult because some people are saying they're not doing everything that they can. And it's difficult because if you understand the logistics of the situation, the United States is not on Russia's side, right? We're giving a lot of money to Ukraine. One of ours is over in Russia detained. It's the optics. I mean, it's the logistics to pull that off. I mean, I can see why they want to keep everything quiet, but at the same time, I just want to educate people and just make sure people understand the severity of it. I don't want another situation like this. You know, I just wish there was more people, maybe the OGs, whoever, you know, mentors, kind of get in people's ear, like, listen, you know what, this trip, leave that home. Let's just go over here. Let's get the bag. Let's do what we got to do. Let's come back safely. You know? And then some would wonder, why did they even let them go over there in the first place? You know, why didn't they just call everything off? Like I said, there's a lot we don't know. And that's why it took me this long to really discuss it. Because there's so many moving parts. And you don't necessarily want to say anything to offend. Or you don't want to make things worse. You know, because it's just another headline. But to me, this is not a headline. This is messed up. This is something that could have been avoided. And I'm hoping, by at least talking about it, at least on my platform, that my listeners can, whether, you know, they're around that age in their 20s or younger, or if they're older like myself and just want to pass along that information to someone who's younger, like, listen, it's not worth it. And these people are not playing. They're not. They don't care who you are. They don't care you want a gold medal. Like, they don't care. And it's a really, you know, bad situation to be in. And I really feel for her family and everything. And, you know, and everybody who's throwing all the negative energy trying to say, oh, you know, that's not helpful. That's not helpful. I think it just goes back to just saying, if you have nothing nice to say, you know. And if you know, you know. This should just be a learning experience. And hopefully, you know, that family or whomever can actually help out, is actually doing everything they can to figure that situation out, whether they do go the political route and negotiate, or whether they decide, you know, to do it the legal way. And that is not my area of expertise, so whichever route they choose, I just hope it's the best one, and all I can say is I wish them the best. And anyone else who's ever been in that situation or was thinking about, you know, doing something like that, I hope that this makes you think twice, you know, that it's just not worth it. Be very careful. Also be mindful of the laws in which that other countries have and their values and their beliefs, whether you believe in it or not. And just be careful. Like I said, that's all you can do. Just be careful and be mindful and look out for each other and stop with all the negative energy out there, you know, because you never know what situation you might wind up in one day and be calling on the masses to help you, you know. The court of public opinion is pretty strong, at least in this country, right? So let's just be careful. Let's, you know, keep your head on a swivel. But on another note, guys, sports don't stop, right? So I know a lot of people heard about the Cowboys and their situation. Some people worried about Dak. It's just a year to really prove himself. I don't know. There's a lot of changes being made. Like right now, you have CeeDee Lamb. Okay, cool. Amari Cooper is no longer with y'all. But Baker Mayfield, it seems like the Browns are really trying to make sure this dude does not have a bad year. You know, especially if he comes back healthy. You got Amari Cooper. I'm sorry, but if he has a problem with Amari Cooper, then we just got to call it what it is. Yeah, just to kind of sidestep from the Cowboys real quick, because we already know Jarvis Landry, he was cut, right? We're not sure where he's at yet. Let me just double check. No, he doesn't have a spot just yet. So it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. But at the same time, it's like, okay, Baker, you had Odell, right? You had Jarvis Landry. I don't know if you got beef with LSU or I don't know what's going on over there. But if you can't get it right with Amari Cooper and you got your running back, you got Chubb, if you healthy, man, I mean, I don't think there's any more excuses. Because some people were kind of going back and forth who was a better quarterback, Dak or Baker. And I'm just like, all right, that things just get out of hand. I mean, of course, Baker, that's a no-brainer. But there is a such thing as an it factor, though, playing with heart. Some guys just got it. You can't really put your finger on it, right? I wouldn't say that they're the most talented, but their will is so strong that it's just, They get enough just to get there, right? But then when you start comparing them, right, to the elites or to the greats or to even the good players, they just don't match up. If you really, you know, kind of look at it in that aspect, and that's kind of the way I view Baker. That's why I say he's average, right? Because I'm not comparing him to himself, you know, where he could be. I'm comparing him to who's in the league right now. Like, who is he better than? Like, when you're talking about the grades, you know, Tom's back, right? Yeah, we heard Tom's back. He's not better than Aaron. He's not better than Tom. He's not better than Lamar, right? You know he's not better than Patrick Mahomes. He's not better than Josh Allen. You know he's not better than Cool Joe. So, come on. What are we saying here? You know? He's not better than Russell Wilson. I honestly don't even think he's better than Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins does get a lot of bad rap, but I feel like Kirk Cousins is just I think he's good. Like, he's solid. You know? And Joe Flacco, once upon a time, you know, he caught a lot of stuff too, but at the end of the day, it's like, he has a Super Bowl though, right? And you already know how his Jekyll and Hyde performances can be. I know that personally because I had him on my fantasy team. So if you're into fantasy and stuff, you'll get to know a player pretty well. But this is Baker's year to get it together. If he gets it together, then we're just going to be kind of going back and forth with some people who are just all in on Baker. And they're going to say, see, I told you. All we can do is just see what happens. But he shouldn't have any problems with Amari Cooper. I mean, he's a dude that pretty much stays quiet most of the time. He does his job. He's not a polarizing figure. He shouldn't eclipse Baker because you can see that he has this, you know, acting ability that is bar none. That's where the talent is at. That's not heart. That's natural talent that he has behind the camera. I mean, I'm sorry, in front of the camera. Dude can act. I like watching the commercials. It's funny. I can watch the same Baker commercial and laugh every time. Not an all-out laugh, you know, a little chuckle. But it still gets you. It still hits every time. That's talent. If you can do that, cool. But like I said, at the same time, Amari Cooper, yeah, he did speak out, but I think he was, like, at his wit's end of Dallas. And you can kind of tell. So I'm not 100%, you know, surprised. Am I surprised? Yeah, but I would say maybe a little more like 65, 70% surprised. But I'm not 100%. Mainly because he did speak out, and he was saying, listen, in those third down situations, I'm not getting the ball. I can make a difference. I'm just not given that opportunity. And you already know how that goes, because if you have an organization that is all in on the QB, all in, you got to be all in with that man too. Otherwise, your contracts are not guaranteed. They can just say, okay, it's easier to replace a wide receiver than it is to replace a QB. That is the reality of the situation. So if you're not on the same page, you're not even in the book. It's a wrap. That's just the way it goes. And that even goes on up. Like, even as a coach, you have to be on the same page as the front office and what the GM is trying to do. You know, I mean, the greatest comparison I've ever heard between a GM and a coach is simple as this. The GM, just think of it like this. There's a meal that needs to be prepared, right? The GM, he's doing all of the shopping for you. All of the shopping. And as the coach, you got to put something really good together for a lot of people. Like a catering situation. In order to make sure everything works out. And that's difficult. Because your idea of one thing being made can be a whole nother thing inside someone else's head. And maybe your scheme, your plays, your culture don't match up. And you see that a lot in the NFL, right? That's why a lot of coaches, it's just like a turnstile. Look at the Giants. It's very difficult. Some people have it right, mainly because they have it like that. Bill Belichick, he's both. He's going shopping and he's preparing the meal. So he already has everything in his head, you know? So he could switch it up at any moment, make last-minute adjustments. It just makes life a little bit easier when you think about it like that. But we'll see. To me, Baker, yeah, this is it. This is it. He has to prove himself. And even then, it's probably debatable whether the Browns will pay him or not. I mean, I don't know. He still has done a lot for that franchise. But at the end of the day, you know, every franchise is trying to win. Watching the Bengals, you know, just be terrible for decades. Sorry, Ultra Single. But you know what I'm saying? And then the franchise starts to get a little bit of life. The fans, everybody's engaged. You know? Here comes Baker, you know, that same mindset, kind of what just Ohio's about in general. You know, a bunch of workers, blue-collar workers, you know. Baker did a lot. I mean, I give it to him in that respect. He earned his spot, you know. He worked for it. But the thing is, you got to, it doesn't end. It doesn't end. So, like I said, we can only see what happens with that. Only time will tell. But to me, yeah, this is his last time to really prove that, listen, I'm your guy. I'm here. What's up? But like I was saying before, you know, the Bengals was just so bad for so long, you know, and one draft pick. And obviously it was a lot of other things that had to go in the right, you know. You have to, everything just has to go right, especially with a lot of different things going on with the pandemic and, you know, guys being out for injuries and COVID protocols, and that it's difficult. Guys buying into the culture. But when you hit on Joe Burrow, right, like everything changed. You know, you have Mixon, I mean, wow, Jamar Chase. You see what can happen. They made it all the way to the Super Bowl. Don't think other teams aren't paying attention and say, that's what we want. That's what we need. They made a little few changes, and they saved themselves so much money in the cap space. Like, brilliant. That's the genius of it. That's what teams try to do every year. Because even if you notice, when teams even win, you can never really win with the same guys. Maybe core guys. But a lot of guys, because they're not going to pay them. You know, the whole idea is to win, spending the least amount of money you can. You know, that's the idea. Because at the end of the day, it is a business. That's another reason why they have that next man up mentality. It sounds great and all, because it's always giving that next guy a shot, and you never know who that might be. But it's also kind of saying, like, I'm trying to save me some money. The next man up is going to save me some money. Y'all not ready for that. Just let that sink in. But even moving on over to the Giants, I don't even understand what we're doing. We have Tyrod Taylor now. Okay. We were looking at Mitch Trubisky, and I was even like, oh, man. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say he was the worst. But if that's the guy you were trying to go after, I don't even understand what happened. Because the Steelers got him for a steal. And that is no pun intended. Like, what? I mean, who's he? He's not competing with Mason Rudolph. Like, come on. I mean, I'm sure he is, but I'm sure he's not competing for the QB1 spot. I'm sure that's his. Unless the Steelers draft a QB, which would be interesting. But just going back to the Giants, like, I don't know what's going on. Evan Ingram is no longer there. And no disrespect to him, but as a Giants fan, you're happy about this. He wasn't available anyway. I'm sorry, that's just the reality of it. He was never available when we needed him the most. Come on. If you're not there to play, it don't even matter. But I don't understand the Giants. You know, the ball is supposed to be that guy, that coach, everybody. You know, cool. I don't know. I just see another dismal season. But here's the thing. The draft is coming up. What are we, about 5 weeks away, give or take? Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Are we going to sharpen up that O-line? Are we going to get some solid defensive players? You know, I think we just actually got someone on the O-line from Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken. There's been a lot going on, guys. If you've been paying attention to the NFL, there's a lot going on. And I'm so sorry that we have to talk so much NFL, because the NFL is really exciting in the offseason right about now. Everything that's just been going on lately. But all we can do is just wait and see what happens. Because now that everything is moving around, we know Tom Brady's back, and we don't know if he's going to stay with the Buccaneers. That's another interesting situation. We don't know what Gronk is doing. Gronk has been talking about playing with Joe Burrow. I don't know. I even heard about Antonio Brown. I mean, we're not going to talk too much about that, but I heard that he was talking about playing with Lamar Jackson, and that's going to be interesting too. Like I said, I mean, all that stuff is definitely speculation, but it's very interesting, to say the least. Very interesting. But anyway, we'll switch back to some NBA, and we'll keep it kinda nice. And what I say this, Lakers fans, I'm sorry, but it's like I said before, the Lakers should just shut it down. Because it's beyond embarrassing. I have NBA League Pass. I have a couple of, you know, devices in my house, TVs and different things like that. No, not bragging. No. I'm just a nerd when it comes to this. So I watch just about every game. Obviously, there's probably going to be a play or two that I'm going to miss because I'm constantly, you know, watching all these different screens and different things like that. But I pay attention. I see what's going on. And it's hard to watch. Honestly, and if you're a fan, especially if you're spending money and going to the game, I can't tell you what to do with your money. You want to go to a game, go to a game. But Lakers just have to shut it down. It's no point. And they're talking about if Anthony Davis comes back, why would he even come back? Why would you do that? Save him for next season. You know he's injury prone. Why would you even do that? You're just going to mess up his offseason. That would just be a terrible decision. If I was his agent, that's what I would tell him. You're done. There's no reason to come back. Zero reason to come back. And I'm not even a fan of absolutes, but there is zero reason to come back. LeBron, up there in age, carrying on the workload. I'm sure he didn't even dream that he would have to be doing this much work for the team to be so bad. It's not even like he's putting in so much work and they're winning and they're in the playoffs, you know, at least in the ranking wise. You know, he's working this hard and they're playing so bad. It's not worth it. Shut it down. Develop the young guys. See what they have. Or build up their trade value, right? So other teams can see what they have and, you know, figure it out. I can't watch the Lakers anymore. They're a disgrace, honestly, to Laker Nation. That's what it looks like right now. And that's sad to say. I don't like saying that. As a basketball fan, you know, even with the Knicks. And, you know, there's just certain teams you can't just see just play that bad. Celtics being another. It's just, I can't watch it. It's terrible. They have to figure it out. They have to shut it down. And I don't know how Frank Vogel could even just sit there. I think I would be getting, if I was him, I would definitely be getting a technical every game. You know, at least two. I would be getting thrown out because I don't want to watch it. I don't want to be there. But contractually, I have to be there. And I have to sit here and watch this. I have to get front row seats to this and get headaches. I'm not even a fan and I get a headache for you guys. Shut it down, Laker Nation. Shut it down. It's a wrap. Season ended a little early. I'm sorry. You know, technical difficulties, I guess. You can't hit every year. Like, sometimes it just doesn't work out. This is one of these years. It didn't go as planned. And it's okay, because as a fan, you can't be that mad. Yeah, I did just win about 2 years ago. Okay. You know, some people are going crazy and act like they haven't won in 10 years. You did just win. Okay. I haven't seen my team win in my lifetime. Okay. So that's something to be a little upset about, you know, not to trivialize, not to diminish, you know. But anyway, just shut it down. Shut it down. Steph Curry had a heck of a night. Everybody's been talking about his shooting slump, and honestly, it's annoying. He's the greatest shooter of all time. And guess what? Draymond Green is back, and this team looks scary. And what I mean by that is, watch out. This is a team that not only has their stars not fully back, because Wiseman still needs to come back, but they're going to be a problem. And when I mean a problem, Draymond Green's already calling it. They're saying they're going to win the chip. I'm not ready to say that just yet. But I can see why. I mean, if I was on that team, I'd be right there with them, you know. But I'm on the outside looking in, so I'm not going to say that just yet. But Steph playing the way he is, Klay getting into rhythm, he's still not there yet. He's had those games, though, that made you want to say, oh, Klay's back, because I know I've definitely said that. But when I mean that, I just mean, okay, he's got that one really good game under his belt, so he doesn't have that pressure of, man, will I ever be the same again? You know, like, of course you will be. We just don't know how consistently that will be just yet. And that just takes time. Like, that's fine. You've been out of the league like two and a half years. Like, come on. I mean, with serious injuries back to back. I mean, the way he's playing, I mean, he's blessed, right? But Draymond back, it's like this team is just taking on a whole nother life of its own. And this is what we've been waiting for, because he really is the engine. He makes that team go. He's the heart and soul of that team. He knows where everybody's supposed to be. He sets everybody else nicely. He puts the pressure on the defense. That's what you want to do. That's what your point guard is supposed to do, right? And that's what he is. He's like a point forward, you know. And on the defensive end, communicating, knowing where guys are, cutting and I mean, the help defense is crazy. I mean, that's kind of how today's basketball is, right? Everything is help defense. Before, it was, no, guard your man. Like, what are you doing? You looking for me to help? Like, you know, I get if you want a double, but what do you mean? What do you mean he got by you? Well, get back. What are you doing? But no, everything is help, right? Everything is rotate. Oh, he's in your, okay. You know, because even it is, like, when people even say man, I'm like, it's not really man. It's not really 101. If you're really watching, you know, they rotate. You know, it's a lot of help. And Draymond is that guy. And that's why they wanted him to sit out as long as possible. Because Draymond is asked to do a lot on this team. Not just offensively, because you're not going to see it, you know, in the stats. But like I said, this is why this is my favorite stat. If I'm going to have a stat that I'm going to rave about and talk about, it's the plus or minus. Draymond was plus 24. I don't think I even ever heard of that. Plus 24. What that tells me already is, wow, when Draymond's out there, they're pretty much blowing the other team away. Like, it's not even a contest at this point. Just because he's on the floor, that's his impact. And it's not necessarily by his points. You'll probably see it in his assists, maybe a rebound, but it's more of his decision making. It's his situational awareness. It's him understanding where everybody is and spacing. I'm not sure if you guys play 2K like that, but if you notice when you space the floor, it opens up everybody, especially when you got shooters on your team. And obviously the Golden State Warriors have a lot of shooters, especially the way they develop their, you know, with Jordan Poole. Oh, man. And did you see Kuminga? Most people would be like, who is that? Anyway, it's spacing. Like, you get so many points just for spacing, and because you don't understand, like, how important that is. It's so hard for defenders to have to keep running in, running out, running in. Eventually, they're going to make a mistake. Eventually, they're going to get caught watching the ball. Somebody's going to cut, and then you're going to have an open lane to the basket. It's like, but that's just simple, like, you know, basketball 101 here. But these are the things that Draymond, these are the intangibles, that things that don't show up in the stat sheet. Like, his IQ is off the charts when it comes to basketball. Some people just get it. You know, that's your Chris Pauls, that's your Rondos, that's your LeBron James, those Magic back in the day. Like, those are those guys who just get it. It just comes natural to them. You can throw the Joker in there too. Absolutely. When you're thinking about playmaking abilities, that's because you just see the court differently. You know, when you see somebody cutting and just that no look pass, I mean, the Joker, he's probably one of the best passing big men I've ever seen. And we can go back and forth who's better, Embiid or the Joker. Who would you rather have on your team? I'd say I'd rather have the Joker. That's mainly because of his passing ability, his impact, because he affects the points, whether he's shooting them or he's dishing the ball to someone else who's going to shoot it. He affects the game in that way, very impactful. And most importantly, he's always available. We're literally getting just a sample size of Embiid. And that's mainly because of his availability. Usually we get to just see Embiid in doses. We're like, oh, this guy. But most of the time we would see him as, oh, he could do so much better. He can do this on a more consistent night. I mean, a lot of the knocks we used to get on Embiid about was his consistency, right? Or even just being available altogether. Now, this season, it's like, whoa. That's why we're really able to compare the two. But me personally, I'm taking the Joker. I like the way Embiid is shooting. His range is getting better. But I feel like the Joker, he's already there. You know, some people probably will just say because of his athleticism. I'm sorry. I will take IQ over athleticism any day. That's just me. But everybody has their preference, you know. And that's not this. I feel like if you choose Embiid over the Joker, I'm not going to sit there and say, like, oh, you're a fool. Like, no. Embiid is a great player. Great player. I still think they need to figure some things out between him and James Harden. Because Harden, like, I mean, I know everybody has all these mixed feelings about him. Or some people are really not mixed at all. They're pretty much like, I don't like him. I don't like what he does to the game. They'll get into the free throw line, you know, 10, 12 times. And they finally nipped that in the bud. And now they're kind of like, I get it. Or the way he kind of hooks people under with his shot and trying to get them to cause the foul. Yeah. But so many of the guys find crafty ways as well to do those things. And that's why it's kind of hard for me to fault him, because it's like everybody does it. I mean, James Harden just seems a little bit more obvious because he does it in such slow motion. So we're able to see exactly what he's doing. But at the same time, it's like, one thing I will not defend him on is he does not show up in big games. I'm sorry. He's proven that the other night when the Nets put a beat down on him. I mean, whoa. Like, James, where are you? Like, we needed a search party. Like, where is this dude? He disappeared. You can't have that type of game. Like, those games, you're supposed to be circling on a calendar. And we got to really talk about this, because everybody was worried about Ben Simmons, you know, entering Wells Fargo Arena and how the fans were going to treat him. Because, you know, Philly is, you know, they've been rough. You know, they're rough. And Ben Simmons, you know, they feel some type of way about the way he exited. And that's probably rightfully so. And, you know, he heard the boos and everything. But oh man, but he performed, you know what I mean? Like, the way the Nets performed, it's like they weren't even thinking about Ben anymore. You know how I know that? Because they were booing their own team. They were booing the 76ers. That's how bad that they were playing. They were playing like they had no heart. And I kind of didn't want to say this because I like Doc Rivers, but I'm going to say it. We already know that Doc Rivers has this reputation for big games not showing up as well, right? I know he's the coach, right? There's only so much he got to do. Players got to play at the end of the day. Totally get you. But to have a coach that's just known for not showing up in these big games, especially when the playoffs coming up, and then you put James Harden, the star, so you got the coach and the star struggling, having that reputation for not showing up in big games, expecting to go all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, that's a pretty tall order, no? That's, man, I don't know. I got to see James Harden show up in these games, you know, and that's just so crazy to me. And I don't have anything against, like, you know, players going out after games and celebrating. But, I mean, it's like he just got destroyed that game and went out like it was nothing. I'm all about, like, having, like, amnesia when it comes to having a bad game. And you got to just, you know, keep it moving and just have a better one next game. But you got a reputation for this, though. Like, I don't know. I would think that if you're that type of player, you're on, like, that superstar, you know, category. You're up there, mentioned. Or if you're mad that maybe you're not mentioned as much as you should be, how you not show up for these games, though? I don't know. There's a lot more we need to see. Kyrie Irving, he's balling, but I don't think anybody's ever had to say anything about how he is as a basketball player. We already know what he is. He's phenomenal. It's just effortless. Even Durant, watching him play, it's beautiful. You love watching it. They can put up 50 points like it's nothing. And it's interesting when to see Ben Simmons is going to come back and to see how that's going to carry on. Because at the end of the day, it's like, yo, the playoffs are going to heat up. They will. And I'm not trying to say that the Nets are not capable. But we have to keep in mind where everybody sits. If the play-in tournament, if the playoffs started today, let's say. I know they don't, you know, for people who don't like to think hypothetically. But it's something that could happen. And it just makes sense to kind of think about those things ahead of time. Play-in tournament, yeah, I have no doubt. Okay, let's say they get past that, right? Let's say that's not an option. Let's say if just Toronto is their first series. Kyrie can't even play in either game. Like, just think about it. He can't play home or away. Especially the way the rules are structured in New York, whether you agree or disagree with him, it doesn't matter. If they don't change, he's gonna not play. And Canada has the same rule. Or even if they're in the series with the 76ers, which is what I'm hoping for, because that's going to be pretty lit. I mean, we already know you're not going to have home court advantage. I understand your tactics. That's what you was trying to do, so that way you'll be able to play in more games. You'll get to play 4 out of 3 games. If it ever went to a game 7, Kyrie would get to play. But I just don't like all those iffy situations, you know. And I saw, but just to move on, Anthony Davis, actually, it was taking some shots saying, you know, if he hadn't been injured, you know, the Suns wouldn't have, you know, made it all the way to the finals. And it's like, you know, referring to last year, of course. And Devin Booker had something to say about that, because he was like, really? Like, instead of taking the high road, You know, you really had to go there. Like, you didn't have to, you didn't have to do that. You know, but I don't know. But if I'm the Suns, I could see why you would be upset, because all you've done is just stayed the course, been solid all year, last year, solid. And this stems back from the bubble, right? When nobody really thought they were for real, went in like 7-8 games. Unfortunately, they got knocked out, but then came back strong last year, added Chris Paul all the way to the finals. Now, they didn't just say, you know what, you know, kind of feel sorry for themselves. Nah, they came back still better than ever. You know, with Bridges the way he's playing, Aiden the way he's playing, like, I hope the Suns end up right back. But they're going to have an uphill battle for sure, especially all the teams that they have to face in Memphis, and it's no joke. And just so y'all know, I also received reports that Jamal Murray has been assigned to the G League. So just wait. He's going to be coming back. There's a lot of things going on. So once teams start getting back to their full roster, you know, things are going to start to change. And we're going to have to look at other teams and say, okay, let's get to see who's really serious and who's not. But, you know, that's my time, guys. I got to go. But let me leave you with this. Be kind to one another right about now. Some people are, you know, stressing about gas prices and things. You know, everybody's got a lot on their mind. All right. I'll see y'all later. Peace.
This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.